Philip II of Macedonia, the Chaeronea Campaign, Part 1. Background. Now, hindsight encourages us to see the rise of Philip as a profound change in the history of Greece, and thus see every action as shaped by this. Yet at the time, few were aware of what this meant, and the city-states went about their rivalries as they had always done. Attitude towards Philip was only one concern among many for most politicians, let alone ordinary citizens, and rarely at the forefront of their minds. Nor was Philip in control of all things going on in Greece. Few states chose to join Athens in the war with Macedonia, because to most, it simply didn't seem any of their business, being a conflict over the distant Thracian coast. Justin later claimed that the states of Greece were too busy trying to dominate each other to pay enough attention to Philip, who watched, as it were, from a high tower, and eventually forced victor and defeated alike to submit to his rule. That is to put Philip in the center of everything and ignore the ambitions of the other states. Thebes had allied with Philip for its own advantage and did not see this as challenging its own status. In 339 BCE, Philip's Theban allies decided to supplant the Macedonian garrison and Thessalian-backed regime at Nicaea, one of the strongholds controlling the route through Thermopylae. There does not appear to have been any fighting, and we do not know the details of what happened. At the very least, it was a reminder that Thebes saw itself as a powerful state, fully independent and in no way subordinate to Macedonia. The road through Thermopylae might still be open to Philip as long as the Thebans approved of his actions. Amphisia was a Locrian city of no great importance, and during an internal power struggle, a leadership favorable to and perhaps aided by Thebes came to power. In the autumn of 340 BCE, these leaders took a complaint to the regular meeting of the Amphictyonic Council, charging Athens with improperly rededicating trophies at Delphi, presumably either during the Sacred War or before the temple had been reconstructed in its aftermath. They were spoils of the Persian War, bearing the inscription from the Medes and the Thebans who had fought against the Greeks. The Amphisians were confident of Theban support, perhaps expecting the council to welcome the chance to condemn Athens after its support for Phocis, and ask for a fine of 50 talents be imposed. The sum was largely symbolic for a state the size of Athens, but accepting a reprimand would be a humiliation. Asines was one of the Athenian ambassadors to the council meeting and decided that attack was the best form of defense. He accused the Amphisians of cultivating fields belonging to the temple at Delphi and thus sacred to Apollo. Convinced that this was a serious charge and swayed by the orator's well-chosen words, his rival Demosthenes, claiming that the delegates were simple folk, the council decided to investigate. The council members went to explore, for the land in question was an easy walking distance. Discovering that the charge was true, they began burning farm buildings on the sacred land until they were chased off by a band of Amphisians and fled back to the rocky path to Delphi. Soon afterwards, sacred war was declared on Amphisia, with a Thessalian nobleman appointed to lead the council's forces, although neither Athens nor Thebes sent delegates to this extraordinary meeting. Even so, the regime of Amphisia was supported by another faction, its old rivals, who capitulated before any fighting occurred. In the spring of 339 BCE, the Amphictyonic Council met again and decided to impose a fine on the Amphisians. The new leader of Amphisia lost face and were in turn supplanted by the faction who had brought the original charge, and who now refused to pay the fine. When the Amphictyonic Council met again in the autumn, it appointed Philip to command their forces and continue the sacred war against Amphisia. Demosthenes later declared that Philip was behind everything from the start, and that Asines was his willing and well-paid tool. Certainly the outcome was that the king marched into Greece at the head of all those who rallied to the call of the Amphictyonic Council, just as he had done during the earlier sacred war. In itself, it was unlikely to persuade any state not otherwise inclined to join him, but at least it softened his arrival, for he did not march simply as the enemy of Athens. Yet this is once again to see Philip as the center of everything, and also implies that an inevitability about the events. Amphisia expected that clearly revived Theban support and encouragement for its actions, and the Thebans refused to join the war declared on them, in contrast to its willingness to fight Phocis. Like the occupation of Nicaea, which occurred at some point during the process, this was the Thebes wanting to assert its own strength and status. sending a message not simply to Philip, but to all the Greek states, while stopping short of openly declaring an alliance with Amphissa in the war. Demosthenes helped to persuade the Athenian assembly not to answer the call to the extraordinary meeting of the Phytrionic Council, which declared war on Amphissa. Secretly, he was eager not to offend Thebes in the hope of allying with Thebes. Asenes accused him of manipulating the system, sneaking through an artfully worded decree after most people had left the assembly, and for good measure alleged that the orator was being paid by the Amphissians. So as we can see, the Greeks, including the Athens, are still fighting amongst themselves over a variety of issues. And, of course, Philip gets the blame for just about everything. But they're pushing him into a position that he's getting tired of this all along. So this is just a little background to what is going to become the Chaeronea campaign. Now, the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch. Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy. History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond. In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.